and read into it and cross-reference it, then you're going to appreciate what you found, and maybe you'll find something I didn't find. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying when you were saying about, you know, people are asking to give links, give that. I'm trying to tell people, you know, this whole new thing that I've said, this whole new side of 9/11 that I found out, and you know what they say to me, and they're like, well, can you just sum it up for me? No, I can't sum it up for you. I told you, I wrote a 35-page paper on it. If you want to know what happened, go read it. There's all links in there. There's videos in there. I'm not just going to sum it up for you in an email, and then you're just going to tell me I'm wrong, to tell me I'm crazy. You know what I mean? I hate that. Oh, I hate that so much. I hate that so much. One guy, he's just like, oh, so tell me this, and he just throws one question out there. Oh, so I'm just going to answer that question, and you're not going to be satisfied, and I'm just going to be wrong. People are so lazy when it comes to and they'll call you wrong. I hate when they call you wrong and they won't even look. It's like, you call me wrong, and I've been researching this forever, and you haven't even looked a lick. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to prove that I'm smarter than you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not smarter than you. You just haven't looked. You guys got to read. You can be so much more aware of what's going on if people just do a little reading. You know, everybody has, you know, in this day and age, we have the best research tool that has ever been invented. Think about the laptop, guys, or just the computer. I mean, for researching, it's amazing what's at your fingertips. Take advantage of it. Even if you can't use it all the time, use it an hour a day. Get off the social network for a minute and do some research for an hour, and you'll find out things that will absolutely blow your mind. Every day you will. You'll find new stuff every day. If you put an hour a day, I guarantee you'll find new stuff every day for probably a whole year straight, stuff that'll blow your mind. Right, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Hell, I was blowing your mind earlier.
Yeah, still, like I say, every week it's something with me. It's something new. Every week I'm still learning stuff. Every week.
Well, I still learn stuff myself, and I've been researching this for years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always finding something new in the agendas. And in information and history and different things that I didn't know. You know, I mean, folks, that's the whole thing. I mean, this stuff is so subtle. It's so embedded in other things, and it's underlying other things. A lot of people don't know. I brought it up on my show plenty of times, but a lot of people don't know that the Boston Tea Party had to do with opium.
You can include me in that.
Huh?
You said you could include me in the group that didn't know. See what I mean, folks? I'm going to go research that tonight.
Here's the story. The king, that we were always taught that the king did what with the taxes on tea? He raised them, right? That's what we were always taught.
Yeah, that he raised them, that's why they dumped it all, and that's what the whole stand was about.
Right. Actually, he lowered them.
Really?
Yeah. And here's why. When the king did have a high tax on tea, these colonials, who are also pirates and smugglers, were smuggling tea in from China, along with opium. And they were selling the tea at a lower price than the king's tea, and the profits from that was what they went and funded their trips to China with.
Wow.
So when the king lowered the taxes on his tea to compete against these guys, it ticked them off because they couldn't get enough profits to fund their trips to China to get the opium.
Wow.
And that's why they did the Boston Tea Party.
That's something else, huh?
Well, they always say that history is written by the victors, and the colonials obviously were the victors. And it was, I think it's funny that they made it out to be one of the pivotal patriotic incidents of that time.
There's some people that say the whole revolution is a sham. You know what I mean?
You know, we're sitting here thinking that the whole revolution started. We were always told that the whole revolution started from this.
Yeah, and it was really over opium.
Yeah, it was over drugs. Even back then, it was over drugs. And look how it's kept on going. Vietnam, heroin. The war on drugs down in Colombia, cocaine.
Afghanistan.
The war, opium.
Yep.
And it's still going on, folks. It's always been about drugs. Part of it's always been about drugs. And dumbing down society and providing people with stuff that will put them in a haze that they'll always be in so that they're not aware of what's really going on around them.
Yep. That's why they invented the television. That
yep.
thing's deadly. That's a deadly tool of theirs, guys. Deadly. Absolute brainwashing device. And we're all guilty of it. I mean, I've cut down a real lot. I mean, I don't watch really any crap except for I do watch. I will admit I do watch my football game, but I don't watch anything else leading up to it or anything anymore. I'm busy researching now. I don't even have time. I used to be a sports nut. I used to go to all types of games all the time. Probably 10 Red Sox games a year, 5 or 6 Patriots games, 5 or 6 Celtics games. I was always going. I'd always watch the games every night. You know, now it's like this last baseball season. I watched half of one baseball game. And I used to watch every single one until this last year, but everything's changed. I just can't. There's too much for me to learn. There's so much out there. I can't waste my time watching that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to go yell
no,
at my
it's
kid
all right.
for a second.
It's all right. I was just talking about how I don't waste my time watching any of the really sports at all anymore or anything like that. It's just, if I do watch TV, honestly, it's my computer plugged into my TV and I'm watching some documentaries that I got off the internet.
Yeah.
Or I'm watching some videos that I YouTube.
I'll tell you what, with me personally, I still watch mainstream media. I watch
the TV. I check it a little bit.
I also, I have to admit to a weakness for my football team, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I watch football too. That's what I was saying.
You know,
and you might have to have it out then, huh?
Huh?
I said, me and you might have to have it out then. You're a Colts fan.
Yeah, oh yeah, you got New England. Oh.
That's all right. We're all patriots in the other sense of the word. You do, hey, come on. You do know we got the coolest name though. Come on. If you guys didn't hate us, and you guys could just have any name in it, you know what I mean? But we suck because we have the coolest logo and we got rid of it, so.
Right, but look, but after the story I just told you about the Boston Tea Party, look at your Patriots.
Yeah, a bunch of drug dealers. Tom Brady's an opium dealer. You heard it here first. No, I'm just kidding, folks. You hear that on TMZ tomorrow. That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I see somebody in here and tell a friend in my chat room sitting there saying Big Pharma is envious of worldwide weed success in keeping people more healthy than not. So Washington D.C. is cracking down on their bosses' competition. Well, you know what? No, I don't think so. I think they allowed the weed to become legal and all that for what Rambo was talking about earlier. They always have an agenda. They don't allow you anything.
There's usually
they have
more than one, too.
Yeah. And one of those agendas is like what Rambo was talking about, is to disarm the country.
Yep. They've been trying to do that for a long time.
The other thing, and people argue with me about this one, but people are in a different state of mind when they're on that stuff. And I can't, people wouldn't do it if they didn't go into a different state of mind.
Yeah,
but, that's my opinion. I know there's a lot of people that believe in medical marijuana and everything for cancer and all that. But, folks, if you look into Royal Raymond Rife's technology, cancer was cured 100% in the 1930s by Rife's technology.
By what technology? What technology?
Royal Raymond Rife was the man that developed it. What he did was he invented a microscope so he could look at live pathogens. Not like the electron microscope where they look at dead pathogens. He was looking at the live cancer cells. And then he adjusted an RF frequency emitter and kept changing the frequency until he saw that he found the right one and watched the cancer cell go poof. No kind of medication.
So they kept the lid on
that, of course. No radiation, no adverse effects. He just put out the frequency of cancer from this RF transmitter, and that is the only thing that it would attack in a human's body, is that cancer cell. And he took a group of terminally ill cancer patients and cured all of them.
Wow.
And
Big Pharma, did anybody carry his work on?
Huh?
Yeah, did anybody carry on his work?
There's some machines out there. True ones. There's some people that have latched onto it and made bullshit. But that's what the mainstream media uses to discredit him is the bullshit artists.
Yeah.
But for the main part of it, if you go back to Rice's actual technology, matter of fact, when the big pharma jumped on him and did all this stuff to discredit him in the public, of course they own, you know, the same people that own big pharma own mainstream media. So what they did was they discredited him. He became so depressed he became a drunk. The problem was he lived till he was about 97 years old because he kept using his machine on himself. He tracked every single pathogen out there and found the frequency from it and would set this thing up to rotate through all these different frequencies in his presence. And it kept the man healthy, and he died a drunk at 98.
Wow. Man, I learned some good stuff listening with you. I'm gonna have to write some of this down. I want to get back in the house and get on some of this. I could definitely do a whole show just on that.
Yeah.
I never heard of him. I mean, I've heard of some of the other people. Like, I've heard of the Gerson Miracle, and I've heard of a lot of the natural stuff. I mean, there's tons of natural cures for tons of diseases. But you're saying this guy could, like, basically tune a radio frequency and add a pathogen and destroy it.
Yes. And this is all based on what he did was he took Tesla's technology and adapted it for a medical reason.
It's always Tesla's technology. The guy was brilliant. That's why you don't hear about him until you're awake, usually.
Yeah.
It's a shame for that guy. Tesla would have changed the world for a better place. Everybody, think about what Tesla's free energy technology would do for our economy right now.
Oh,
if everybody didn't have to pay their gas bills and the heat bills and gas for their car. Think about it. Everybody would have a few hundred extra dollars in their pocket a week. Like, every family would be comfortable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Tesla, though, he was the one that figured out that every single thing on the planet has an individual frequency.
He's so brilliant, man.
Yeah, and so if you find the right technology, or you find the right frequency for anything, you can destroy it. He found this out in his own... He had a building in New York before he had one out here in Colorado. And he was in New York City, and he made a little thing about the size of one of those big matchboxes.
Yep.
You know, the ones that hold the wooden matches?
Yep.
And all it had was this little hammer in it. And he could adjust the speed of that hammer. And he kept playing with it, and he attached it to a steel beam in the building. One of the main beams on the building. And he kept adjusting that. And what it would do is, once you get the right frequency, it will resonate on itself and destroy itself. And he almost brought down the building on himself.
Really?
Yeah, he shut it off before it did it, but it was resonating within itself so much that it almost shook the building to pieces.
Wow. That's crazy. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've heard the, you know, the whole story about overall what happened with him, what he tried to invent, you know, how they pulled the funding on him because they wanted to give everybody free energy, how his lab got burnt down. You know, I heard the big story, but I haven't heard anything like, you know, what you're telling me right now. It's good. That's good stuff.
I'm sorry. Tell a friend looked it up. Reif died at 83. I thought it was 98, but 83. Sorry, folks. I didn't intentionally do that.
There's so much information,
yeah,
you know?
I go through so much information that you know, I'm going to get a few facts here and there wrong once in a while, and I'll admit it.
yeah, my phone might cut out because it's about to die, but if it does, are you going to be on for how much longer are you on? Because I can call back from my computer.
35 minutes.
You know.
If you want to call in on Skype, you can do that, too.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably end up doing.
If you go to the website, you can call in from Skype.
Is it easy for me to find you on there?
Oh, yeah.
What do I need to search when I get the blog talk?
Hey, if you go in the Skype that we did earlier,
yep.
If you move up in there, you will find the link to this show.
Okay, cool. I'll meet you over there. I'm gonna hang up now, and I'm going to call you guys back in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Tell a friend, thank you for looking that up. He died. He died of Valium and alcohol. I told you he became depressed. But he died of all this when he was 83. You know, he kept using the machine on himself, so it kept him healthy, and he died at 83. So, you know, there's got to be something to that. I don't know, folks. You go into Big Pharma and all that. Of course, they don't. Big Pharma doesn't want to cure anything. They want to kill you slowly while sucking every bit of money out of you and your families. Because after you die, then they go after your family to pay off the bill. And it's just one of those things. They keep going. To basically kill people off and suck all the money from them. And, you know, I mean, Dr. Rebecca Carley, a woman that I've had on this show before, she talks out about vaccines, and she calls vaccines weapons of mass destruction. And she's absolutely correct. Because they don't cure anything, they just mask symptoms. You know, folks, most people who die when they have AIDS or they have cancer, when they die of this, a lot of times it's not from the cancer, it's or the AIDS, it's from them getting this radiation treatment, chemotherapy, that completely destroys the immune system, and once it's completely destroyed, then they die of the common cold that they develop into pneumonia, and they die from it. Because they have no immune system left. And they know this. And they know there's stuff out there to cure things. And folks, let me tell you something. They have had a vaccine and a cure for AIDS since at least the mid-80s. Because when I was in the Navy, I was actually vaccinated against AIDS. Against HIV. It was a biological weapon that was created in a military lab. So, here you go. Tell a friend, let's pull this up. That Reif saw the epidemic of cancer increase from 1 in 24 in Americans in 1905 to 1 in 3 in 71 when he finally died. From 1 in 24 to 1 in 3. No, and she said, they said, there's no there's no opting out of shots in the military, and that is exactly correct, and I can tell you that for a fact. well, yeah, there is actually opting out of shots. If you opt out of them in boot camp, you just opt out of military, period. Because if you don't get them, you're done. But I have to say, back in the 80s, they weren't trying to kill people. Okay, I've got a caller in here. And, yeah, you just put up your hand. I saw you in earlier, and there was nothing there. 361, who do I have here?
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Scott.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
No worries. Do you have the patent number? I have the patent number for the cure for AIDS. I don't know. I know you're privy to it, but
yeah. I don't have it right in front of me. No.
but to anybody who's listening, it's all you got to do is go to the United States Patent website. You just Google it up, and the actual patent number is 567-6977. So when you just mentioned that, you know, you were vaccinated against it, I mean, I have no doubt about that. It's certainly not a conspiracy theory, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. And one of my favorite sayings on this show is, if they're actually doing it, it's no longer a theory, folks. It's actually agenda.
And like you were saying, no, go ahead.
Theory is something that you can't prove, or you have to prove. Agenda is something that they're actually doing, so you don't have to prove anything. They're just doing it. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, maybe we should change the, instead of, you know, conspiracy theory, conspiracy hypothesis. You know, hypothesis would be a scientific guess. You know, it sounds a little better than theory. But like you were saying earlier, you know, they inject us with this crap to quote, kill cancer cells, and everything you said is spot on. You know,
yeah.
I mean, people are so concerned about going through airports through their radiation detectors, and yet they have no qualms about talking to the guy in the white suit with the stethoscope, and if he says yes, you need to get mass, you know, bombarded with this shit. They have no problem with with doing that, and it's
oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here's one for the ladies. What about mammograms? They're sitting there hitting you with x-rays every single year when they could always use an ultrasound. For high image, they've got high imaging ultrasounds now where they don't even have to do x-rays. And they can look all, it's more detailed than an x-ray ever was.
Yeah.
To look for this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but they're exposing these women over and over to X-rays, especially in the breast area, because what do they use the breast for? To feed children. Now
exactly.
They can get that, and since they when they irradiate food and everything else with X-rays, and it takes away all the nutritional value of processed food, so you're basically you might as well eat the damn box. You'll get more.
Yeah.
You'll get more from fiber in the cardboard box than you will from the food that you're eating, with the exception of fat. You'll get that.
yeah. I mean, like you said, and the same thing goes with prostate, male prostate. They do the same thing, you know, with the radiation, and of course, you know, if you destroy the prostate, then it's the same deal.
Radiation of the prostate. They actually inject little uranium rods in your prostate.
Yeah, that is just You know what seems so obvious to us today, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you know, we took it as fact. But the more we learn, it's insane. And when you try to explain this to folks, normal everyday folks, they're not hearing it. You know, they want to know where you went to school and where you got your doctorate at, and, you know.
I got my doctorate at the School of Hard Knocks, folks, and I'll be the first one to admit it.
Yeah, University of Reality, right?
Exactly. School of Hard Knocks with a second major in common sense.
Yeah, and this might sound kind of far-fetched, But I think the people that are most awake have been through some kind of a trauma in their life, you know, something that, that really shook them at once in their life, and they had to take a second and had to reevaluate. I don't know if you'll buy into that concept or not.
Yeah.
In other words, not going with the family, you know.
Tell a friend in the chat room, pulled it up and then posted all the patents to that. So, there's more than one, looks like.
Oh, the patents?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to look at that. Well, that's great. I was only aware of that one, so I appreciate Tal Friend enlightening me to something new. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen them in my show before, but they've been researching everything we've been talking about as we're talking about it.
Well, that's good. That's what a right brain thinker does, you know? They question everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I keep saying, is please. And they did prove me wrong a little bit ago because I said that Royal Raymond Rife lived till he was 98, and they found out he lived till he was 83. So,
yeah.
You know,
well,
I didn't intentionally do that. It's just, you know, that was what I thought my memory said that I thought it was, so.
Well, I mean, you know, if you put out 90% fact and 10% error, it's a lot better than, you know, 80% bullshit and 20% fact that comes out of the oblong box in the corner of our living room. So, you know,
yeah.
You're doing just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that error is a lot different, folks, than 90% truth and 10% spin.
Yeah.
Not, and instead of 90% truth and 90% error, or 10% error, there's a big difference between error and spin. So,
yeah, and on your program, there's no such thing as neuro-linguistic programming or subliminal programming because it's not visual; it's all auditory. So, you know, you're entitled to make a mistake here and there. It's obvious that you're not trying to brainwash the masses.
Oh, absolutely! And as me and Brian mentioned before, what good would that do for me? I don't get paid to do these shows, which also people like Alex Jones, they get paid to do their shows. I don't get paid to do my shows. I do these shows for you folks out there.
Yeah, and that's a whole other ball.
I do these shows to try and help people and wake people up.
And that's a whole other ball of wax. I mean, we don't have to go there, but Brofman, an admitted Zionist, is the one who's funding him anyway. You know, I like Alex Jones. He puts out a lot of good stuff. However, you have to get to a point where you can discern the true from the false, as far as he's concerned. But he did wake me up, you know.
Yeah, well, I agree, too. I mean, you hear some of that stuff, but that was one of the jumping-off points to try and look at other things, you know, or research it, you know, to find the real truth in it.
Yeah.
And I love jumping-off points. And as you know, when I'm in my arguments and stuff, in my blogs and my Facebook and stuff, I may be doing an argument with one person, but I'm actually staying in the argument for the other person that's actually watching.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. That's one thing that you do is you don't feed into the madness too much. You always know that there's somebody looking, there's somebody watching that might get something out of what you say. So.
Right, and... You know, if I just keep putting out facts, eventually it'll start making sense to that person to waken them up to start thinking, huh, maybe there's something to this I ought to look at.
Yeah. And to Paranormal 51, auditory is one of your five senses that you're hearing, just to let you know. He attacked auditory, and so I don't know if he was privy to what that meant or not, so I just thought I'd explain it. But, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So folks, when you think that for those folks that are awake and get frustrated with posting and having the idiot that won't let something go or will not look at something but call you an idiot, call you a moron or call you crazy, but won't go and look at any of the proof you're talking about, keep on plugging away. Because somebody else might be looking at it and can see that this guy's being an idiot. Because he won't look. And then you'll be starting to question things and start looking into what you're saying. And so, that, as I told Scott the other day when we were talking on the phone, you know, I can go through 100 idiots, and if one or two people start to get it or start to question it, makes it all worth it.
Yeah. And to Paranormal 51, if I did pronounce it auditory, that would be my Chicago accent, my friend, but you know exactly what I meant. But, yeah. But, no, what you're saying is, you know, you might have five drones attempting to attack you, and what you do, Mike, and I appreciate that, I still have to learn on this, is you keep a level head, because you realize that there are some people that are actually viewing and listening to what you're talking about, and if you feed into the madness, then they will look at you as if you're a drone as well, and you have a propensity to go back, so kudos to you. I'm still working on that concept. I feed into the madness quite a bit.
Yeah, having a hot head in this game isn't exactly a good one. The hot head's going to be, Scott, I will tell you, though, having the hot head will come in handy later on.
Well, yeah, especially when you're armed with facts that can't be refuted, then you can launch your ICBMs and there's not too much anybody can do about it. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about, folks, just to let you in, Scott and I know each other from Texas. He actually came up from Corpus Christi to Pilot Point to meet me one time, and we had a good old time going out and playing with a lot of things that go boom and some that don't.
Yeah, I'll never forget the training sessions as far as weaponry is concerned. We'll just put it that way, you know. Because at the end of the day, you know, who's going to protect us? Ourselves, right?
Yeah. I just got a kick out of you. Couldn't believe that I could shoot all those things that well.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were being demon possessed because I never seen anybody aim like that, fire multiple weapons. You know, and you remind me like of a guy in a video game who's like the baddest guy of everybody, but it was in real life. So, not trying to toot your horn, but you know, facts are facts.
I know.
So.
No, I've been shooting since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
My dad let me shoot my first .22 when I was 5.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you saw my proficiency level when I shot underneath that barn thing or whatever it was. You know, it'd been a minute, so.
Yeah.
Remember when? Yeah, you know, I don't know what the hell we were shooting something, but and we lost. Oh, the bow and arrow.
No, it was a crossbow.
Yeah, and I was trying to hit the alien greys that lived underneath the planet as opposed to hitting the target.
Yeah. And I was doing 55-yard shots in high winds.
Yeah. Well, that's why you always be a friend, you know.
not a friend because I'm a friend because I can shoot.
Exactly. Out of that, you're... Exactly. You're a dickhead, but I love you because you can shoot straight, so therefore, yes. No. Of course, I'm kidding, but, you know, with the eighth patent that my man put up there, or the additional stuff, I appreciate that because it's things we can all learn from each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if we're shills, there's... Even a show is going to put out something that we can take and we can investigate for ourselves. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Yeah,
folks, I spend a lot of time on Facebook and looking at my other friends that are awake, and they post up stuff that I didn't find, and I go and look at it. If it piques my interest, I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm going to research it.
Yeah.
And even if it's stuff I knew about, I still research it because it may have more to it that I didn't know.
Right, right. And that's how we learn. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like to think I know everything about everything. But I have to ground myself and realize that I don't. So through our exhaustive research and through all the bullshit we have to sift through, you know, we find those little golden nuggets, and that's what keeps us going. So.
Yeah. Now, I told you my joke the other day on Facebook on why I can't stand people that think they know it all. because they annoy the shit out of the people. They annoy the shit out of the out of us that do.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing we want is our ego tarnished, you know. But unfortunately, you know,
yeah. But I did come back and I did say somebody did accuse me of being a know-it-all one time, and I proved them wrong.
Yeah. Well, I used to think you were a know-it-all at first when we first met, but then you got on the fast track, and I've been learning stuff from you that I didn't even know about, and you know what I mean? So
yeah, well, Scott, one of these days I want you to come on and talk about, and this is something that you actually know more about it than I do.
Yeah.
A lot more, actually, and that's symbolism that's in logos and different things, that people can actually look and see this influence of this global elite, the different things that they own, and the stuff that they're into, the Luciferianism and the mysticism and the witchcraft and everything that they're into, that they put in the logos of the stuff that we buy daily and have no idea. I touched on it earlier with on the other show, because we got to talking about the monster drink.
Yeah, exactly, with the 666 and the Hebrew letters.
Yep.
Yeah.
The monster drink, the monster is the biggest energy drink in the country, actually probably in the world right now. Their slogan is Release the Beast, and each one of those claw marks in the M on their logo is actually a 6 in Hebrew.
Exactly, and I would challenge anyone to just simply go and, just Google it up. You know, Hebrew numbers, Hebrew letters. Go to the number 6, look at what you're seeing, look at a monster can, you know. The easiest way that I can explain symbols is this. If I sit you down and I put a word in Chinese in front of you, you're not going to know what it means. You're going to look at it like, what the F is that, right? But if you put a Chinaman in front of you, he's going to know exactly what it means. And the same thing goes with the symbols. With the pyramid symbolism, with the sun symbolism, it's the same thing. And unless you know how to read it, then you're not even going to, you'll see it, but you're not even going to, you know what I mean? You're not even going to look
right.
at it.
It's not going to register.
That'd be a good show because, you know, as you know, Mike, pyramid symbolism is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Pyramid, sun, serpent.
I put up the other night, as you know, I put up a simple Q. Actually, I put the symbol up for Quality Inn Hotels. And I'm like, what do people see? Of course, most folks see the Q. That's a Q. But it's not. You know, same thing with the Citco. It's not a triangle. If you look at a Caterpillar logo, you know, the bulldozer company, that's not a triangle. You know, the symbolism is everywhere. But yeah, we'll do that. We'll get into that show.
Yeah. We have a gas station here called Diamond Shamrock.
Well, there you go, bud.
If you look at the logo of it, it's 666.
Diamond Shamrock.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. I'm not. Can you break that down?
Do what?
Can you break that down? What is it you're seeing?
It's hard. You'd have to look at the logo, but I know you'd see it right away.
Okay. And it's a service. It's a gas station.
Yeah. So they're a chain of gas stations up here in Colorado called Diamond Shamrock.
Okay.
So I'm sure if you pulled up Diamond Shamrock on the computer, it would probably pull that up, and you can look at the logo of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the logo. Actually, I'm looking at the logo right now, and how do you discern, I'm not disputing what you're saying, but how do you discern 666 from the logo?
Okay, look how it comes down and around. If you start at the top corner, go down to the left and come back around the thing. If you flip that over, it goes back the other way.
We look at you. Okay, I see exactly what you're talking about. Okay. You're right. It's right there. It's right there in front of your face. And obviously we have, at the top of that, we have a pyramid, and then we have two pyramids at the bottom, which are inverted. And for anybody who doesn't, know, when you see an inverted pyramid on a logo, what you're looking at, it denotes one of two things. It denotes homosexuality, or it denotes the feminine. And for a frame of reference,
also in the witchcraft community, that if it's set up like that, it also means as above, so below.
Exactly. If you have the inverted along with the regular, exactly. And that's a whole new show. I mean, you have the pyramid on the ground, and you probably know this already. It matches up with three specific stars, which would appear to be inverted, which is the as above, so below. They match up, but that's
at the Louvre. Huge glass pyramid with 666 panes of glass in it.
Yeah.
And all you see above is a big pyramid, but they have one exactly like it below that comes to a point right there.
Yeah.
A focal point. A ley line.
Yeah.
And folks, if you really want to see it, you might remember it from the movie, what was that Tom Hanks movie? The Da Vinci Code.
Okay. I haven't seen that but go ahead.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people out there that have seen the Da Vinci Code. It's that same glass pyramid, and below it, they had the same pyramid coming down. That's
right.
Exactly what that means, as above, so below.
Yeah. I'll have to rent that. And the reason I haven't watched it, I got to be honest, Mike, is because I know there is an incredible amount of disinfo in there. But I'm gonna, I'll check it out. Wasn't there a sequel to that?
But knowing that there's disinfo, it's kind of fun to watch that thing and see what they've twisted.
Yeah, I'll. Since you mentioned that, I'll definitely write it and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth in that movie, but there's a lot of really twisted shit too.
Yeah, and that's what they do in Hollywood. And people, they don't understand. Well, we're watching movies, and this might sound, I don't think it'll sound insane to your audience. For most, it would. But when you're watching these movies, they are telling you facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're telling you facts, and they are laughing in your face because 99.9% are not going to get it. They're not going to sit there. When you watch a movie, you can't get emotional, and this is what I learned. When you watch a movie, you cannot get emotionally involved. You have to watch it critically.
Yeah.
And
here's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Here's a good one. And it's a kid's movie. The movie WALL-E.
With the
actor?
Yeah,
it's the one with the little robots. Little cute love story between the robots.
Okay, right.
Okay, but What it comes down to is, okay, one is propaganda for the global warming stupid crap in the beginning because the whole world's full of garbage, and it got so full of garbage they had to put everybody on a ship. And they're orbiting the Earth waiting for when all this garbage gets cleaned up. But the other part of it is when these people are on the ship, generations after generations, they've been up there for years, and it shows social engineering because these people are in these chairs. They don't walk. They don't move. They're in these mobile chairs that move around, that they have a screen, like a video screen, over their eyes, and they're talking on cell phones to each other, even if they're standing right next to each other. And
right.
They have become so fat that their bone mass has dropped, and they're not aware of anything, and they can't even get out of the chairs.
So I guess what they're trying to tell you, and it sounds insane to most, but hey, subliminally, chicken McNuggets are okay.
They're saying if this is what they want. They're just telling us right there and there, this is what we want people to be.
Exactly. Talk on your cell phones, get irradiated. Yeah.
Mindless.
I got to rent that one, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And folks, if you really want to see this going on today, I've seen it several times. You go into a restaurant or something, and you watch these kids, and these kids are sitting across the table from each other, and they're texting each other. instead of just talking. This goes to the dehumanization of people. It's moving you over into that biological machine category.
To where and that's an excellent point you raised, Mike, because while we're looking at somebody, 80% of communication is nonverbal. So when people are texting each other and they're over at the other side of the restaurant or whatever, you're focusing on your machine. You are literally missing 80% of what this person is trying to communicate with you because you are not watching them. 80%,
right.
I said, 80% is nonverbal. So, yeah, they're geniuses.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. I mean, okay, how much with okay, you've got a steady girlfriend there.
Yeah.
You've been with her for a long time.
Yeah.
And how much do you read into each other's eyes when you're talking?
Well, when she gets pissed, there's absolutely no, I have no problems understanding where she's coming from.
That's not my point. My point is when you're usually talking to each other in a normal conversation, you look into each other's eyes and you can see if that person's hurt, even if they don't show it in their voice.
Well, that's my point. She doesn't have to say anything. All I have to do is look at her. It's nonverbal communication. So I know exactly where she's coming from. Does that make more sense? Yeah. In other words, you don't have to speak. It's that nonverbal communication that's going on. That's how you really get to genuinely understand another person. And if you're sitting there on a remote device and you're texting, you're not getting that. And it's all by design, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that lack of connection, you know? So.
Well, I will say, I used to do telemarketing. And I was actually quite good at it. But the thing was, is you could listen to voice inflection. And, you know, the people say, speak to them with a smile because they can hear it. And actually, that is really true. If you are happy, if you sound happy, if you do it, like what you're doing, it will show in your voice inflection. I got really good at, when I was talking to potential customers on the phone, at listening to them. That was different from the other people because they would just go right down the pitch, blah, 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 blah. You know, like now is replaced with a stupid machine, and you know how much that irritates everybody. But the point being is I wouldn't go into my pitch right off the bat. I'd start getting to know the person on the other end of the phone. I would be listening in the background to see if they had kids. And then I would use that to start getting them going. And then I would start, you know, talking to them to the point that I get them laughing. And if I got them laughing, I knew I could set up an appointment with these people. Because then they got to know me and I got to know them. And it was on a personal level. So, you know, a lot can be done over the phone. But I'm sorry, folks, if you're texting each other, OMG doesn't cut it. You know, you can't find out any kind of inflection from just texting. What happened, Scott? Did I lose you? Yeah, I did. You dropped off. Okay. Well, and Brian didn't end up coming back, I guess. No, I see him in the chat room. Brian, if you just look up there, up towards the top of the page where the slideshow's going, there's a thing there, push for Skype. So if you want to come back in, that'd be great. Yeah, folks, this is going towards the mechanicalism of the human being. You're no longer, and this goes along with the elite's agenda of you are a biological machine that is there just to run the industries. And the way they do the education system is so substandard. It's just to get these kids intelligent enough to run the industries for them, but not intelligent enough to question anything that they're told. So, you know, folks, okay, looks like I have Scott back here.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a feline knocked the phone out of my hand. But what I was going to say to you real quick was, yeah, is that what you were doing when you were talking to those folks, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you were mirroring them. In other words, you know, you were looking at their situation and what they were going through at that exact moment, and you were, you know, you were empathizing with them. You were trying to connect with them in that sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're getting it.
Yeah.
But the point is that there is an inflection within the voice when you're talking to them. And if you're texting, then you're not getting that inflection. OMG, LOL, all of that. I've kind of, doing blogs, I've kind of learned some inflection on there by using capitals on certain words, and basically it's just emphasizing the same words as if I were talking.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And
so, what you're saying is through modern technology and via text, a lot of times things can be taken out of context because we don't have that inflection. Yeah, yeah.
There's no emotion to it.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.